Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
We have the tools, we have talent.
Peachy motivational tools.
These are the tools we employ.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, there is one tool we need to bring up our kids in the way that God intended for us to raise them. It helps us to meet the three essential needs our kids have, and when we properly use this tool, our homes will become places where kids will benefit from four freedoms as a result. Well, the one tool is God's grace. During the next half hour, award-winning author Tim Kimmel joins me once again. We'll talk about how grace-based parenting meets a child's needs for security in their hearts, significance in their lives, and strength for the future. And don't forget those four resulting freedoms also. The freedom to be different, to be vulnerable, to be candid, and to make mistakes. Well, how God's grace makes us better parents will again be our theme today on Homeward, so stay tuned.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You can follow Homeward and Dr. Jim Burns on Facebook and Twitter. And by the way, if you haven't downloaded the Azusa Pacific iPhone app yet, get off the stick. Let's do this here. Get on the stick. Get off the dime. Anyway, get it today when you go to iTunes. Today here on the program, part two of a conversation that's a best of for us. It's kind of an archival program from a couple of years ago. Tim Kimmel joined us for a conversation about grace-based parenting, and you're about to hear part two of Jim's conversation with Tim on the theme, how God's grace makes us better parents. You don't have to be perfect as a parent, but with God's grace, that grace covers a multitude of our bumps and missteps. So let's get right back into it now. Here's part two of Jim and Tim here on Homeward.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and today I'm smiling because this is day two with Dr. Tim Kimmel. We're talking about grace-based parenting, just great conversation, a great person. He's executive director of Family Matters in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's the author of the Gold Medallion Award-winning book called Grace-Based Parenting, Set Your Family Free. Also, the author of many, many other books. Kathy and I, years ago, went through a book called Little House on the Freeway, and it was very, very helpful for us thinking about kind of living in crisis mode in our lives, living too fast. There's another book called Surviving Life in the Fast Lane, and a latest book that I really like also called Why Christian Kids Rebel. But today we're going to talk about grace-based parenting. Very important subject. Tim, welcome back to our program.
Jim, I'll tell you what, you've made my day. I'm glad to be on your show.
Well, it's great to have you. You know, every parent wants to be liked by his or her children.
Sure.
And yet, in grace-based parenting, we've got to be able to establish boundaries with our kids without alienating them from a lasting relationship. How do you do that?
I remember one time back when I was doing a lot of summer camps. You've done those before.
Sure.
We did a survey at all the camps we spoke at, and there was two interesting things came out. The top two things that kids wished that their parents understood, they said, we wish you would trust us more. That's the number one thing. Number two thing, we wish you wouldn't trust us so much. You see the tension?
Sure.
See, kids want freedom, but they also need to know that there are some clear moral boundaries that the parents are maintaining. Because that's the freedom that they have. You know the old analogy about the kids, there was a study, there was an elementary school that had a very busy street and no fence there. And the kids always hovered around the school when they played. They never used the playground. And it was because inside their hearts, they realized that's a dangerous road out there. Mm-hmm. Well, finally, some parents said, you know, we ought to build a fence. Because these kids could, the ball could go out there, or a kid could, so they put up a fence and the kids immediately scattered to the four corners. Because they knew, I'm safe now. So parents that set clear moral boundaries create a safe heart for their kids. Kids say, okay, I've got somebody that is mature and responsible running interference for me. Now, will they test those boundaries? Of course they will. They're kids. But inside that boundary, they have all this freedom to be individuals.
Great concept. You know, many parents are kind of knocking themselves out trying to meet all the needs of kids and build those fences and get the boundaries and
Let me ask you this question, though. Is it possible to meet all of their needs, or are there just a few needs that you really need to strike a balance?
That is a great question, because you see, needs are real in our kids' lives. But the problem is the needs that we go for tend to be the ones that are more superficial and less touching the heart. And in the book, Grace-Based Parenting, I distill our kids' needs down to three driving inner needs. Now, obviously, our kids have a need for food, clothing, and shelter. Those go without saying, and even...
I have three daughters, major emphasis on clothing.
Yeah, and makeup.
Right.
But you know what? Even some of the worst parents out there provide that part.
Sure.
But there's three driving inner needs that all kids are fundamentally hardwired to have met. And here's the sad truth, Jim. If you pin down the average parent, even the average Christian parent said, what are the three driving inner needs of your child? The average parent could not tell you what they are.
Right.
But there's one person where he's standing there. You asked him the question. He said, oh, this is so easy. And he spit him right out. And his name is Satan. He knows exactly what these are, and he appeals to them all the time. And so in the book, I spend a chapter on each one. All of our kids have a need to feel secure. And the way we help them feel secure is we give them a secure love. All kids have a driving need to feel significant, that they have value. And the way we meet that is we give them a significant purpose. And then all kids have a need to feel strong. And the way we meet that is give them a strong hope. And Jim, here's the important part, is we want them to ultimately find this love, purpose, and hope in the Lord. So when they have a secure love, a significant purpose, and a strong hope in the Lord, they're set for life. And by the way, all these other needs that we think are so important, like education and all, those actually fall into place a lot better when we meet these three needs.
How do you help your kids? Let's take the teenage years, and we have listeners who have teenagers and also who have
older ones. Sure, and I have teenagers.
When the kids are in rebellion, I know you've written another book on this, but when the kids are in rebellion, and you really want them to be secure in the Lord, know their significance with God, feel the strength from God, but you know the kids just don't seem to be interested in it. How do you help them?
One thing we all have to keep in mind is when our children are hardest to love is when they need our love the most. They just do. And so we don't give up on them at that point. But when you go to Luke chapter 15 and you actually study the prodigal son's story, what was interesting is about that very savvy, shrewd father is that he knew he had put into the kid's heart the things the kid needed to know. And he had created the opportunity for the kid to embrace it, but the kid had rejected it. So he knew that to a certain extent, you have to let these children bear the consequences of their foolish thinking. You have to let them fail and hit bottom. And see, I think many times we're so afraid of what that might look like that we constantly intervene and try and steer the ship. You can't make a kid love God. You can't make them love church, but you can love them. And the more grace they see from us, the more they see the true heart of Jesus Christ. That's why I love grace as the balancing beam or the balancing agent in everything we do, especially parenting, because it's the best advertisement for the heart of God.
And you're 100% right. You mentioned love. How does the role of love play in the equation with security, strength, and significance?
Yes. Well, what we need to start with, if we're going to give them a secure love, is a good definition of love, because a lot of people talk about love, but they don't pin it down as to what it is. I love this definition. It goes like this. Love is the commitment of my will to your needs and best interest, regardless of the cost. And when kids see parents that are willing to sacrifice for them, parents that are willing to put their discretionary times up for grabs, parents who mold their own personal goals and desires around the best interests of their children, parents who are not afraid to do the nasty things and get their hands dirty and clean up the messes of life, then these kids know these are parents that truly love me.
Very, very important. And it actually goes right along with the way God loves us as well. How interesting that the way we're to love our children is really the way God loves us. And if we can put those two together, then you know, we got a winner.
Well, that's all grace-based parenting is. And by the way, Jim, you know, we have this kind of a nanny mentality now that's coming along where because of our affluence, we can hire people to do all the things we don't want to do as parents. But I want to caution parents about that, because it communicates to the kids an aristocratic-type parenting style that says, I will love you because it's easy. And it doesn't necessarily communicate the depth of love. I mean, I know, I met this man who says, I don't do diapers. He will never clean a dirty diaper, never change a dirty diaper. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad that Paul didn't say, I don't do road trips. And Moses didn't say, I don't do Red Seas. And David didn't say, I don't do giants. And Mary didn't say, I don't do virgin births. And Jesus didn't say, I don't do crosses. I mean, that's where love is communicated, when we do the things we don't like to do.
And a lot of parenting is just like that. Listen, we're going to take a break. Tim, we'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk about the four freedoms every child should be given.
Boy, that was really gripping, though. Before we wrap up this part of the segment here, all the things that Tim was talking about the people who, can you imagine if they said no to God on that issue? So very, very important. But that's something that we as parents have to do as grace-based parents. We really need to impress those things upon our children and show a willingness to do things that we might not want to do as well, but God really wants us to do for our kids. Today here on the Homeward Broadcast, our theme is how God's grace makes us better parents. Tim Kimmel with us. He's the author of the book Grace-Based Parenting. It's a book that Jim has recommended for years, and this is an archival, one of our best ofs here as we're getting close to the end of 2012. And if you'd like more information on Tim's writings, you can go to homeward.com if you're not there already. And speaking of the end of the year here, we want to thank you for your prayers and faithful financial support as Homeward enters our ninth year of broadcasting daily on radio stations and the internet all across the country and all over the world. Your prayers and faithful financial support make the difference, and you can give a gift when you write to us today at Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California. The zip code 92693.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Heather?
What?
Heather, can you turn that down?
Oh, thank you.
What's up?
Well, Heather, there's something I want to tell you.
Okay.
But you see, actually, look, the thing is, well...
Well, what, Dad?
Don't take that tone of voice with me.
Here we go.
Where is this attitude coming from, Heather?
Parents, for those moments when the right words are hard to come by, here are a couple of phrases you need to memorize, and then you can start using them with your kids even today. Try, I love you. Or how about, I need you? That's one that'll surprise them. Well, your words have a tremendous influence on the lives of your kids. So always remember that positive words bless and build up. Well, get started today by reading my free tip sheet called Confession is Good for the Soul and the Family. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Dr. Tim Kimmel, we're talking again about grace-based parenting, and this is so practical and so helpful and, frankly, so important. In the last 10 minutes of this program, I really want us to think through the ideas of the four freedoms every child should be given, because, again, part of what we're trying to do is help our kids become responsible adults. And to do that, we've got to actually give them some freedom. And Tim, you talk in your book about four different freedoms, and I think it really gives a strong hope. And the first freedom is the freedom to be different. Talk about that for a minute.
Let me give you some synonyms for what I mean by the word freedom so people will really get a clear understanding of what I mean. How about this? Weird, bizarre, strange, goofy, and quirky. Grace-based homes have room for those kind of kids. It is not a crime to be weird and bizarre and strange and goofy and quirky. And the reason grace-based parents grant that freedom to their kid is because grace-based parents have enough savvy to know that God made them that way. And so you don't want to work against the hardwiring of a kid. And I'm not talking about sin in their life. I'm not talking about things that are clearly sinful. I'm talking about just things that they're weird and bizarre. And the reason we don't like them to be that way is because, well, it annoys us. It annoys the heck out of us. And sometimes it embarrasses us because, well, they're weird. And yet, it's that very stuff that God put in them that he just says, give them the freedom to be that way. Because many times you're seeing sometimes their strength just pushed to an extreme. But here's where we make the mistake, is when we don't like the way they are. Their weirdness, their bizarre, strange, goofy, quirky nature. And then we turn around and we moralize that and we make it an evil. And then even worse, we go to the Bible and we try and prove our point from the Bible. Like, for instance, your kid wants to do something weird with his hair, your teenage son. He wants to cook it and spike it or something. Oh, you know, you're a Christian. That doesn't reflect the heart of Christ. There's nothing in the Bible that says any such thing as that. There's no biblical argument whatsoever. Jesus didn't weigh in on hair. If anything, God gave us hair as a toy to play with, and nobody plays with it as much as a woman does. And so, but that's just one example.
Right.
And we want our kids to kind of have this uniform. Well, grace-based families say, look, we're not going to make moral issues out of non-moral issues.
That's a very important concept. And yet I think there'll be some listeners who will write us and say, you know, did he mean that, you know, my son can do this or that with his hair? I mean, what's the practical side on piercings and on tattoos and things like that?
We get into that in the book. I talk about how we handle piercings and tattoos, clearly in the book. But here's a good example, tattoos, Jim. You know what parents do? Is they go to the verse in Leviticus. And it says, thou shalt not have a tattoo, it's an abomination. And says, see, right there, the Bible says. Well, actually, the verse before it says, you shouldn't eat meat that is rare and has blood in it. And the verse before that says, men shouldn't trim their beard on the side and cut their hair on the side. So, if the one is true, then Jim, you are an abomination. Yeah. I'm an abomination.
Right.
Your tech guy probably isn't, because he's probably a hair tree. But, you know, if you like a rare steak, what is it talking about? That passage is talking about a clear tattoo that marks you to a heathen god. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with putting mom on there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, when you stand on your head, it says, wow. See, so you got that going. But there are some practical reasons why it's not a good idea for our kids to have tattoos. And we can build a practical argument, but we don't want to moralize it, because once we do that, we're on thin ice.
Well, I think it's very important that you distinguish between moralizing something, because there are things in our family that we say, you know what, not until you're adults, you can make that decision what you do with fill in the blank. But we can't make it a moral issue because it's not a moral issue. And sometimes they rebel against their faith because they think that we've combined it all. And frankly, we have at times.
And see, that's the same in our family. None of our kids have tattoos. My wife doesn't have one. In fact, what we said is, well, here's what the Bible says. Look, technically, your body belongs to me, because I'm the parent and I have to pay the freight on it to feed it. And if it gets sick, I have to get it well. You break it, I have to get it fixed. So I own it. So until I don't own it anymore and you own it, I don't want you to tattoo it. Now, after you get married, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, your body belongs to your spouse. So what you got to do is wait till you get married and ask your spouse, I want to get a tattoo of such and such here. And if that person says fine, great.
That is as well said as I have. I get this question all the time. That is as well said as I've ever heard. Very, very good.
You know what? That's about the first time anybody said I've said something as well said as it could
that
be.
Was,
I don't,
that
I
was...
I got to dab my eyes. Wait a minute. Can I use my shirt tail? Give me a Kleenex.
But, you know, is an issue that a lot of people...
Yes.
And the idea, going back to this idea of the freedom to be different, that's a tough one for us, because there are times when we want our kids to look, you know, a certain kind of way. And what you're saying is that's not necessary, and not just even look, but sometimes act. Let's go to the next one. Freedom to be vulnerable.
Yes. Kids don't want to have to wear masks around their family, their parents. They want to be able to be who they are and let you see some of the things that they're struggling with and not feel like that's going to cost them big time. That's going to come back to haunt them. That's going to be used against them. Just think of how vulnerable we are with God when we go to Him in contrition and prayer. You know, does He say, ooh, I'll keep this one. I'll mark this one down. I'll come back. You're going to see this one again. No, He's a God of grace and mercy. And so especially when our kids start walking through those adolescent years, someone has described adolescence as a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year battle to keep from being embarrassed. They need to have some place where they know they can be vulnerable.
Right. No, and that's a great point. And when they are vulnerable and they experience grace, that even makes it stronger in
exactly.
terms of relationship.
Then they know, I have a mom and dad who understand me and they care for me. I can trust them. This is safe harbor.
Yeah. Now, freedom to make mistakes. We've kind of talked about it, but mention it.
That's actually the fourth one. The third one is the one that most people get nervous about, and that's the freedom to be candid.
Right.
You need to allow your kids to have the freedom to talk. There's got to be a two-way dialogue going on in a home where they can tell you what's going on in their heart, even in their attitude towards us. We make mistakes. All parents fail and make mistakes. Well, if we never acknowledge that, or there's no way for our kids to talk about, man, you really embarrassed me. You really crushed my spirit. I was humiliated. We need to let them do that so we can take responsibility for that.
Right.
I'm the one that grew up, your generation too, we grew up with the ones where they had the parents that never once admitted they did anything wrong. And we're also the generation that gave the world therapy.
That's right. Well,
and then the last thing you talked about there is the freedom to make mistakes.
Right.
I'm not saying that we're encouraging our kids to make mistakes, nor am I suggesting that grace doesn't mean that there aren't consequences for mistakes, because technically, discipline is a form of grace. It's saying, I love you too much to let you grow up to be a bad person. I'm going to correct you. But if home is where life makes up its mind, and I believe it is, then home must be a place where disappointments are dealt with and mistakes are processed. And it never means the end of a relationship. And that's grace.
Well, that really is a great, great summary. We don't have much time, Tim, but I wanted you to talk about a strong hope and how to
yes.
build strong kids and give them what we talked about at the beginning of the program, security and significance and strength. How do we do that?
Well, the thing that I think is one of the biggest drawbacks of evangelical parenting is that they're preoccupied with raising safe Christian kids. And although that sounds like a great idea, it's actually a recipe for disaster. Our job is not to raise safe Christian kids. Our job is to raise strong Christian kids. And one of the ways you do that is you build their sense of a strong hope. And I think one of the anchor tenets of a strong hope is helping your kids and encouraging your kids to live a great spiritual adventure. You've got to let them take risks. You've got to put them in a position where they have to appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit. They have to claim the leadership of the Bible. And a lot of parents back away from that because there are risks involved. But when you hand your kids over to God, for Him to build them in His power and His might, there is no stopping the kind of significant kid you're going to hand to the future. And that's called grace-based parenting.
And that is what we want to do as parents. We don't want to build safe Christian kids. We want to build strong Christian kids, kids who have a strength from God and who live this adventure called life with Christ as their Savior and with Christ as their Lord. And parents, it's not necessarily easy, but it can be mm-hmm. done. It will be done, and it must be done. And we've got to really proactively go after that.
And Jim, one thing that makes it easier to help them live that adventure is if they're following us. And they're watching us do it.
Absolutely. Children see and children do. Tim Absolutely. Kimmel, thank you so much for being with
You're
us.
Welcome,
it's been
Jim.
A wonderful, really 2 days of this conversation. I appreciate so much your ministry, your work, and all that you do.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Tim Kimmel here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme, How God's Grace Makes Us Better Parents. If you missed any part of the programs, either part one or part two, you can get the audio stream just by going to homeward.com, podcast with us at iTunes, or if you'd like the full-length audio CD, we'll be happy to send you part one and part two on one disc. All you have to do is include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry when you write to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92. Or call 800-397-9725. Jim, this is kind of a revolutionary concept for some parents, but grace-based parenting is a great way to go, isn't it?
This is really a better way to raise our kids. I'm fortunate. My dad and my mom, I think, did a really good job in terms of understanding this whole idea of grace, and they really didn't shame me. They don't have the guilt factor as well. But for a majority of people, I think when we bring up this issue, it is a struggle, isn't it?
It is. It's the type of thing, too, where I think about interactions just in our adult lives, too. The way if you kind of come from a home where guilt and shame was the order of the day, it makes it tougher as an adult to interact with other adults, and then you start using the guilt and shame with your kids. The cycle just continues.
Absolutely. It's time to break the cycle. Anyway, we're going to remember those four freedoms we talked about a moment ago. And those four freedoms are to be different, to be vulnerable, to be candid, and to make mistakes. And those four things you and I need to maintain a grace-based environment for our kids.
And it's amazing how our kids will respond positively when they know that they have those four freedoms at home, where they know they can be vulnerable and candid and, you know, different and make mistakes. That's huge for teenagers, especially who are just going through those tumultuous teen years. And our thanks again to Tim Kimmel for bringing that out to us. Jim Burns has written about this in his book, Teenology. And if you'd like to order a copy directly from our online resource center, you can buy Teenology wherever books are sold. But If you do order a copy directly from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We are completely listener-supported, appreciative of your grateful and grateful for your tax-deductible donations, especially this time of year. We're coming up on the end of 2012. Whatever gift you can give in support of our ministry is greatly appreciated, whether it's $100, $500, $1,000, or more. And you can give a gift through our secure website today at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.